Good morning. Welcome to each of you to the Lord's house this morning. We'd like to encourage everyone to please sign the attendance register at the end of the pew and pass it on down for your neighbors to sign as well. If this is your first visit to Berea Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church following our service. We'll be back there shaking some hands. If you'd drop by and let us know this is your first time, we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. Our annual turkey dinner is coming up on Thursday and Friday, November 7th and 8th. That means cooking turkeys will begin tomorrow, Monday through Wednesday, the 21st to the 23rd, and a repeat next week on the 28th through the 30th. Tickets for the dinner are now available on the back table to be picked up and sold. Also, tickets for the quilt raffle are available as well back there. We're once again needing donations of candy as well as volunteers to decorate their vehicles for our annual trunk or treat, which is coming up this coming Saturday, October 26th from 4 to 6 p.m. That's always been a very fun event here at Berea. And please read about the information in your bulletin announcement page to learn more about several other activities taking place in our fellowship. Please note the Operation Christmas Child. There are supplies and instructions on a back table. Also, the Tall Oaks Dinner, which is coming up, I believe this coming weekend, is going to the cost per ticket is $100 per person, but the church will pay half of that. And we're grateful to Del Sutton this morning for serving as our music director and offering our special music in Andrew's absence this morning. Are there any other announcements? Yes, Carrie. I don't know anything about that. I'm sorry. Okay, it's in the announcements. Okay, thank you, Dennis. All right, would all those who are able please rise for the call to worship as Del comes to lead us in that.
Good morning, and from Psalms 117, praise the Lord, all nations. His love for us is strong. Praise the Lord. Remain standing, please. Come, thou almighty King, help us thy name to sing. Help us to praise one God, all glorious, or all victorious. Come and reign over us, Ancient of Days. To thee, great one in three, eternal praises be. Hence evermore, thy sovereign majesty may we in glory see, and to eternity love and adore. Thank
you, Amaya Hernandez, for being our acolyte this morning. We'll be bound a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, it is once again our privilege to be together in your house this morning, to sing praises and to worship and fellowship with other Christians. Loving God, we know that we often fall short of our desires to promote the ways of Jesus Christ and to bring glory to your kingdom. O Lord, we ask for your wisdom as we do the work that you've called us to do. We seek your guidance as we hear your word and digest it and act upon it. We seek your instruction as we work to promote your ways. Be with us now as we begin our worship together. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus, I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Okay, we're going to have to start doubling up here. Making rows of kids. I love it. Good morning.
Good morning.
And thank you very much to whoever untangled my cord after the first service, because it was a mess. Oh, in our bulletin today, Pastor Dennis has a little short phrase that says, the trouble with arrogance. So, what is arrogance? I don't see any volunteers here. Arrogance. Mostly it means that when we think that because we can do something well, or because we have a lot of stuff, or we live in a big place, that we're better than somebody else. If I can read better than somebody, maybe I think I'm better than somebody else. Or if I live in a great big house, does that make me better than people who live in a little trailer? Or even people who are homeless? Nope. God made everyone and everything. And he also gave us each gifts. Some of us can read better. Some of us can write better. Some of us are better at saying prayers. Some of us are better at making other people feel good, listening to other people, telling stories. Everybody has something they're good at. Singing, running, dancing, whatever it is. Maybe, like some of the moms out here and grandmas, maybe they're like really good cooks. Yeah. There's that. Doesn't matter what we're good at. One of my favorite things in the Bible says that every good thing comes from God. All of our gifts, all of the stuff that we do well. So that we're not arrogant, all God asks us to do is say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all of the many things you give me. Not just the stuff that I can hold on to, but my heart for prayer, or my heart for making other people feel good, or that I can sing and glorify you with my song. In all things, glorify God. Praise God. It doesn't matter if your gift is little or if it's really big, as long as you remember to say, thank you, Lord. Gives all of us gifts. Now, does that mean I can't be proud of when I accomplish something? No. I can be proud of doing something. I can be proud of myself. It just means that we have to remember that God is always there with us. Jesus is with us. He helps us do these things. And we all need to remember to just praise God for everything. For the rain, for the snow, for the food, for our feet and our hands and our eyes and our hearts and our energy. That too. Because believe me, you want that when you get up. Yeah, trust me. I'm going to take some of that. All right. Can we have a short prayer, please? And when we're done, please walk. Y'all, there's enough of you. Sound like a thundering herd through here. Yeah, I see the smiles. You know what I'm talking about. Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you for every good gift that you give us. Thank you for our ability to use the gifts that you give us each and every day to the glory of your name. Help us always to praise you and remember that you are the giver of all good things. Help us to help others to find their gifts and use their gifts to honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
And as we have the privilege to go to God in prayer, a number of people for us to remember. Freddie Nichols would like for us to remember her granddaughter, Serena Nichols, as she is at the KU Medical Center. Bob Maddox is going to be having surgery later this week. So, Bob, we keep you in prayer as that journey begins this week. Arlita White would like for us to remember her sister, Mary Triplett, who has been dealing with concerns with cancer for an extended period of time. We lift up John Martin, brother of Sonia George, and Rihanna Ralston, daughter of Ruth Ann Solomon, as she continues to have several significant health concerns, and certainly a number of other people we've been remembering, and we're encouraged the fact that many in our midst who've been dealing with surgeries and illness are seeing good recovery. We praise God for that. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Holy God, bowing before your presence this Lord's Day, we offer you our adoration by assembling in your house and offering you praise as we sing hymns and hear your word and strive to respond to its precepts with words and actions that reveal your truths through us in the world. As a child who has skinned his knee while playing may cry and run into his mother's arms, so also we find ourselves seeking your comfort as we experience the challenges, the hurts, and difficulties of our earthly existence. For as the psalmist once wrote in Psalm 138, "In the day when I cried, you answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul." Aware of the continued difficulties in many parts of the world, we realize that strife does continue, and we pray for your guidance for those in uniformed services, for local and national and world leaders striving for stability and peace. For as the book of Isaiah reminds us in Isaiah 54, verse 13, "All your children shall be taught of the Lord, and then great shall be the peace of your children. For the assurance granted by Christ's great sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sin, and for our own repentance, confession, and baptism that helps to realign us with your peace, we are eternally grateful. For 1 John chapter 1, verse 19 reminds us, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as our fellowship with people of faith links us arm in arm in bonds of kinship that helps us remain steady in the faith, we are grateful. For as Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12 tells us, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Thus, we offer this prayer, O God, on behalf of the people of God, as we remember how our Lord Jesus teaches us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Nathan, we thank you for once again reading our scripture this morning.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 5 through 14. So now let us prepare ourselves and open our hearts to hear God's message for us this fine day. The Philistines mustered to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and troops like the sand on the seashore in multitude. They came up and encamped at Michmash, to the east of Beth-Aven. When the Israelites saw they were in distress, the troops were hard-pressed. The people hid themselves in caves, in holes, in rocks, in tombs, and in cisterns. Some Hebrews crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul was still at Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. He waited for 7 days, the time appointed by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people began to slip away from Saul. So Saul said, "Bring burnt offering here to me and the offerings of well-being." And he offered a burnt offering. As soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, Samuel arrived, and Saul went out to meet him and salute him. Samuel said, "What have you done?" Saul replied, "When I saw the people were slipping away from me, and that you did not come within the day appointed, and that the Philistines were mustering at Michmash, I said, 'Now, the Philistines will come down upon me at Gilgal, and I have not entreated the favor of the Lord.' So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering." Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. The Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, but now your kingdom will not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord had appointed him to be ruler over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." Let us give thanks for this message this morning of guidance, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. You
who dwell in the shelter of the Lord, who abide in his shadow for life, say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock in whom I trust, and he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. You need not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Though thousands fall around you, near you it shall not come. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. For to his angels he's given a command to guard you in all of your ways. Upon their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand, in the palm of his hand.
Thank you, Dell and Lenora. Thank you. A sea captain ordered a signal to an unidentified light off the port side. Alter your course 10 degrees to the south. In seconds, a reply came, alter your course 10 degrees to the north. The arrogant and proud captain determined that his battleship would never alter her course to a lesser vessel commanded, alter your course 10 degrees, I am the captain. The response beamed back, alter your course 10 degrees, I am Seaman Third Class Smith. Infuriated, the captain personally signaled, alter your course, I am a battleship. The reply returned quickly, alter your course, I am a lighthouse. It's a good story, isn't it? Proverbs reminds us, chapter 16, verse 18. Pride leads to destruction and arrogance to downfall. As we mentally take our seat at the Lord's table to receive the bread and cup of the Lord's table, we realize that wounds of Christ's suffering and death for the forgiveness of our sin, and his resurrection, the declaration of his obedience to God's great plan for our salvation, leave no place for our pitiful human arrogance and pride. These we leave at the foot of the cross as we prepare our hearts to graciously receive the elements of the Lord's Supper. And we therefore sing our communion hymn number 214, stanzas 1 and 4, please, of hymn number 214, Rock of Ages.
rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be the sin, the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see the only judgment throne, rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as David leads us in a word of prayer, please.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to this table that represents your love and sacrifice, we ask your blessing upon the loaf and the cup, and we ask for your help in making us more loving, a more loving person. As the song says, they will know we are Christians by our love. For these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Tithing, the giving of 10% of one's resources to God, is particularly given to the Hebrew people when the tribe of Levi was commissioned to care for the temple and to provide spiritual needs for God's people. God did not assign the tribe of Levi land. Instead, as Numbers 18 tells us, he instructed the other Hebrew tribes to provide for the priestly clan and to preserve the upkeep of the house of the Lord. Jesus affirmed the practice of tithing in Matthew chapter 23, and the Apostle Paul encourages Christians to give to those in need. And it is with faithfulness and honor to God that we extend our tithes and offerings, believing, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, that God is able to give you more than you need, so that you will always have all you need for yourselves and more than enough for every good cause. With these thoughts in mind, Judy leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Dear God, we bring our offerings today to sustain and grow this church and to support the many missions this church is involved in. We ask that you would bless this offering and guide us in the use of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. May we offer a word of prayer, please. Gracious and loving God, with thanksgiving and humility in our hearts, may we lay our own arrogance at the foot of Christ's cross, as we seek the strength of your divine direction as the new week unfolds. It is in Christ's name that we offer this prayer. Amen. In May of 1902, the Caribbean island of Martinique was having troubles as the volcano on Mount Pelee was making a nuisance of itself. In the city of Saint-Pierre, at the foot of the volcano, residents regarded the fiery peak with mounting concern. While the volcano was spewing out smoke and ash, the island's governor, however, was more worried about the upcoming election than he was the volcano. He feared that a panic would hurt the candidate of the ruling Progressive Party, so he directed the editor of the local paper to downplay the danger of the eruption. He also set up roadblocks to prevent people from leaving the city, and he suppressed telegrams warning of any danger. And in a grand gesture, he paid a visit to the city below the volcano 3 days before the election just to assure everyone that everything was going to be okay. Now, the morning after his arrival, however, at 8 o'clock that morning, the volcano erupted. A cloud of superheated gas and ash more than 1,000 degrees centigrade hurled through the town at nearly 100 miles an hour. It didn't distinguish between political parties. It killed the governor. It also killed 30,000 other people in less than 2 minutes. History reminds us that the arrogance of one can lead not only to the destruction of the one, but can lead to the destruction of thousands, if not millions, of God's children. Arrogance is defined as an attitude of superiority manifested in an overbearing manner or in presumptuous claims or assumptions. That's a long way to put it, isn't it? But you know arrogance when you see it, don't you? Right? From a biblical perspective, arrogance centers around the notion that a person believes that one's own authority supersedes the authority of who? Well, God, obviously. And you know, this is clearly seen in our story from 1 Samuel chapter 13 that was read to you earlier. The Philistines were a mighty coastal people who possessed significant wealth, far more greater wealth than the Hebrew people. They also possessed the ability to make not only tools but weapons out of iron, while the Hebrew people were still caught up in the Bronze Age, and all they had for weapons was farm implements. You already saw that from the context that was read to you by Nathan, that there were 30,000 chariots, an untold number of soldiers, and I mean, it was overwhelming odds, was it not? And that was compared to the Hebrew folks who had about 3,000 soldiers with farm implements. Now, as pagans, the Philistines worshiped their god Asher. And with the influence of their apparently superior way of life, their dominance was a grave threat to the Hebrew way of life and the idea of believing in the one and only true God. So war seems imminent as the circumstances beginning to unfold there in the text of 1 Samuel. But we also know that the prophet Samuel had given Saul, the king, very definitive instructions, right? Part of those instructions were, you're not to do anything until I get to where you're at. And I'm going to get there in 7 days, and then I'm going to offer up the offering. And that was the requirement according to Hebrew law. But as the seventh day wore on, you know from the text that Saul thought he could wait no longer, as some of his meager troops were already beginning to leave, and he thought, oh my gosh, I got to do something, right? And so Saul says in verse 9 of 1 Samuel 13, bring me the burnt sacrifices and the fellowship offerings, and he offered them. And then while he is finishing, guess who comes on the scene? Still in the seventh day, it is who? None other than the prophet. Now, he said he was going to be there, wait 7 days, but it still didn't seem like waiting until the end of the day was going to work for Saul, right? So he goes ahead and he offers up the sacrifices, seeking God's blessing and guidance in the midst of this whole scheme of things, right? And, of course, this upsets the prophet. So with verse 13, he says, that was a foolish thing to do. You have not obeyed the command of the Lord your God. And if you had obeyed, he would have let you and your descendants rule over Israel forever. But you Now your rule will not continue, and because you have disobeyed him, the Lord will find the kind of man he wants to make him as ruler of the people. In other words, Saul, your days are numbered for being a king. Now, if that wasn't bad enough, we know as the story goes on that Saul loses his life as he throws himself on his own sword, committing suicide rather than to be captured by the Philistines at Mount Gilba. And of course, even Saul has three sons who are killed in the same situation. But you would think that we could take heed from the pitfalls of our predecessors, right? When we read stories here about like what happened to Saul, and when we read or hear stories about what happened on this Caribbean island with this volcano, wouldn't that be enough for us to think, you know, maybe we really ought to check our arrogance at the door? But no, even in more current history, we just seem to have a way of going on with our ways of thinking that we're bigger, better, and more intelligent than the rest of everybody, right? In 1969, in Pass Christian, Mississippi, a group of people were preparing for what they called a hurricane party. On the third floor balcony of a three-story apartment complex, it was right on the shoreline. The police chief of the community, Jerry Peralta, pulled up sometime after dark to tell the party goers that they needed to leave for their own safety. A man with a drink in his hand came out to the second floor balcony, waved at the chief of police, and the chief said, "Y'all need to clear out of here quickly. The storm is getting worse." But as others joined the man on the balcony, they just laughed at the chief. And one of them even said, "This is my land. And if you want to get me out of here, you're going to have to arrest me." Well, Chief Peralta didn't arrest anyone. He wasn't able to persuade a single person to leave. So, of the 20 or so folks who were there, he took their names and took the names, phone numbers of the next of kin, if you will, and he left. It was only 2 hours later that the hurricane came ashore. Scientists clocked Camille's wind speed at more than 205 miles per hour. It was the strongest hurricane on record at the time. Raindrops hit with the force of bullets, and waves off the Gulf Coast crested between 22 and 28 feet. The next day, there was nothing left of that three-story apartment complex except its foundation. And one survivor was found, a 5-year-old boy clinging to a mattress. Self-assured arrogance is a growing concern, even in the United States, even today. It's clearly indicated by the fact that more and more citizens are simply ignoring even the existence of God. Did you know that the fastest growing number of people in a faith group, if you will, is actually the nuns, those who say they have absolutely no affiliation whatsoever and don't even believe in God at all? That percentage in the current time is up to 25% in this nation. Just a decade ago, it was 17%. At that continued rate of increase, our churches are going to be like the European cathedrals. Built big buildings, nobody in them, except tourists. And in this Pew Research document that came out this past Thursday in the Wall Street Journal, also stated that only 45% of adults say they attend church at least once a month. And sadly, that's down from 52% just as 2009. So the ranks among us are declining. Well, out of what reason? arrogance. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so caught up in ourselves that we are forgetting more and more about the presence of God in our lives or our need to follow anybody other than our own attitude and our own self-perceptions. But you know, as this new week begins, maybe what we really ought to do is take a look at the arrogance that often fills our minds and our hearts. Do we think that we know what's best for our family? Do we grumble and complain about our boss or the company we work for because we don't think they know what they're doing? Is it our arrogance that's blinding us and causing us to treat other people so poorly? Or is our arrogance destroying the important relationships that we have in our lives? The sign outside, it simply states, "Be humble before God." And you know, as you and I consider what Christ has done for us, came into the world, died upon the cross for the forgiveness of our sin, you know, there really is no place for arrogance. We're like the captain in the midst of our arrogance, and we're about to run into what? A lighthouse and take everybody with us when we're filled with arrogance. Yet the scriptures of Romans chapter 12, verse 3 say, because of God's great gift. What is that gift? It is your salvation. I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you should. Instead, be modest in your thinking and judge yourself according to the amount of faith that God has given you. Yes, history tells us, and the Bible tells us, we really ought to leave our arrogance at the cross and humbly come before the Lord's presence, seek His guidance in our lives, and life will be so much better for everyone, won't it? Do you know Christ? If He's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day that you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is that day for you to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I want to extend the invitation to you as we turn to, and it's actually stanzas 1 and 3, not 1 and 4, but 1 and 3 of hymn number 562, Because He Lives. May we stand and sing, please.
God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive.
I'm going to give you all this hymn book.
He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know life is worth a living just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross the river and fight life's final war with pain. And then as death His way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone, because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
Would you please have a seat for a moment? We want to celebrate the fact that Carol Cook and Lois Strzok have both decided to come forward together this morning to express their membership here at Berry Christian Church. And we want to celebrate also that their membership has been at the First Christian Church in Carrollton for quite a while, right? For both of you, a lengthy period of time. And they've known each other for, I think, decades, right? I think it's been quite a stretch of time. And both of them have actually moved into the area, and many of you know that Gail is Lois's daughter, so we're so delighted you all have that closer connection here in the city. And Carol has family members that live here in Kansas City as well. And so, you know, we celebrate the commitment that both of you have had to First Christian Church in Carrollton, and we embrace that wholeheartedly. But at the same time, as Kansas City becomes your new residence, it certainly is our privilege to welcome you into our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. So based upon your previous confession of faith and baptism, Carol, I welcome you to Berry Christian Church. And Lois, I welcome you to Berry Christian Church as well. God bless you both. Please give them a hand if you will. Thank you. Thank you very much. And may we have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing the closing song. Please, if you all will stand after the benediction. May we pray. Lord God, guide us today as we seek your presence. We know your Holy Spirit is always with us to grant us a great measure of your reassurance, peace, and renewal and guidance day by day. We give thanks for Carol and Lois and their willingness to come forward and become affiliated in a special way. Not only with their church in Carrollton, but also with their church family here in Kansas City, Lord. We pray your blessing upon both of them and their families, and as we journey forward, may we always be mindful that your presence is with us day to day. It's in the name of Christ that we give thanks. Amen. Also, a reminder, before we stand and sing the closing song, a couple announcements. One, turkey dinner, or turkey cooking starts tomorrow, 8:30, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 8:30 each day. Then the following week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then, of course, the big turkey dinner itself, all that stuff takes place that third week from now. We can all use the help of anyone who can be here from about 8:30 on till about 1 or 2 o'clock starting tomorrow. Please come and help us for those of you who can. And again, remember, the trunk or treat. Got a number of our children with us, but we open up our parking lot to the neighborhood, and everybody who comes, we have a fun time with the trunk or treat. That's Saturday, and we certainly want to welcome anyone who wants to use their trunk, their pickup bed, or the back end of their SUV, decorate it up, and come and join us. We have a great time. Or if you can't do that, bring some more candy. We can always use more, and there's some that's already accumulating up in the hallway here, but please help us with that. Blessings be with you. May we stand, please, for the closing. Shall we come to the back?
Shall we gather at the river where bright angel feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God? Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Soon we'll reach the shining river. Soon our pilgrimage will cease. Soon our happy hearts will quiver with the melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God.